Good morning, so good to be with you this morning, and I pray that the time that we have together, that this will bless you and encourage you in your walk of faith. We are starting a new series for the next month called With God All Things Are Possible. You know, so often we live in a natural world, not realizing that there is also a spiritual world that we are a part of because we are spirit beings, and that we actually live out of our hearts, and that because we operate the same way that God operates, that God is a faith God, that he had something in his heart that he believed and he saw and he spoke it forth, that you and I can operate on those same principles and on that same capacity, that we function just like God functions. So what happens if you see things around you falling apart? If your life is falling apart, your business is falling apart, your relationships are falling apart and dying. How do we connect to God? How do we walk this thing out? How do we live with this expectation of God working in and through us and seeing the miraculous happen? You know, in Survivor, the program, it's dependent on other people voting you in and out. But I want to let you know that you will never ever get voted in or out because you are a part of God's kingdom. And in Romans 8:37, it says that we, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So I'm going to read some scriptures to you, and I know and I believe that you're going to be encouraged by this, that God is a God of miracles and that he delights to work miracles in and through you. In Acts 2:22, it says, "Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know." Acts 19 verses 11, miracles at Ephesus. God was performing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul. In Galatians 3 verse 5, it says, "So then, does he who provides you with the Spirit and works miracles among you do it by the works of the law or by the hearing with faith?" So a miracle is a sign and a wonder. It's a supernatural event where we are partaking of a spiritual dynamic and a spiritual kingdom, and it is at work in this natural kingdom, and that God is the God of miracles. So with God, all things are possible. So we're going to read out of Luke chapter 8 from verses 40 to 56. It says it this way, "And as Jesus returned, the people welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue. And he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him, and a woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years and could not be healed by anyone came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped. And Jesus said, 'Who is the one who touched me?' And while they were all denying it, Peter said, 'Master, the people are crowding and pressing in on you.' But Jesus said, 'Someone did touch me, for I was aware that power had gone out of me.' When the woman saw that she had not escaped notice, she came trembling and fell down before him and declared in the presence of all the people the reason why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace.' While he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue official saying, 'Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore.' But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, 'Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well.' When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. Now they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, 'Stop weeping, for she has not died, but is asleep.' And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, 'Child, arise.' And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and he gave orders for something to be given to her to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened." This is an amazing portion of scripture. And I want to just encourage you, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has not changed. He is still the same one who works miracles in us. And I want to let you know, one glimpse of healing and knowing Jesus as your healer will keep you walking in health forever. One glimpse of God's abundance will keep you living in his abundance and prosperity forever. One glimpse of God's forgiveness will keep you walking with a forgiving heart forever. Unfortunately, We often make excuses and live in the denial of God's peace and His promises. And unfortunately, those things keep us to our limitations. Excuses as to why we are not living in the promises of God just keep me limited. And God wants me to live in the abundant life. So surrendering to His opinion and to His word is always going to benefit me. So the preceding verses in this chapter, Jesus was talking about soil. And He was talking about seed being sown. And He's talking about your heart being the soil and the seed being God's word sown into our hearts. And He ends it talking about us pondering, studying, and meditating on that word so that it can bear fruit in us. So I want to encourage you to go and find scriptures. Go and find something in God's word pertaining to who He is and what He has promised you. Meditate on it, ponder it on it, think about it, study it, so that it can germinate and bring forth much fruit in your life. And I want to look at Jairus and his daughter and this example of how we can live with this expectation that God is the God of miracles. Now, I know that faith is not a formula, so please don't see this as a formula. These are just points that I've just taken out so that we can learn from them and grow in our confidence with God. So firstly, Jairus comes to him because he's like, my daughter is dying. So these are dire straits. I mean, this is something that God really needs to interfere and intervene in this so that there can be somebody saved. Now, maybe you are in this position with God. It's like, my business is dying. My ministry is dying. My relationships are dying. My dreams are dying. Well, the first thing that Jairus did that was a good thing was he came to Jesus. He came to him with this request. And that's my first point this morning. You've got to know who you're trusting. Are you trusting in your own ability? Are you trusting in your own wisdom? Or are you coming to God knowing who He is, knowing His character? Notice Jesus' response here. He didn't say, well, it's not the right time, or maybe I'll come, or no, I'm not coming. No, Jesus went on His way to assist Jairus. And you need to know that God's will for you is a yes and an amen. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20. In the Amplified, it says that, for as many as are the promises of God in Christ, they are all answered yes. So through Him, we say our amen to the glory of God. God has given us a will and a testament. If you want to know what His will is, you look at the will and the testament that He has left us. And the Bible says that we are co-heirs of this inheritance. So God has left you a will. You can also look at the character of God. How has He revealed Himself throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament? Now, He has given us covenant names so that we can know who we are trusting in. He has described Himself as the one who is your peace, as your provider, as your healer, as your shepherd, as your deliverer, as your banner. So God's will is defined in His character. His will is defined in what He has left you in the inheritance. So that's why the encouragement in Hebrews 10:23 is that let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to His word. So what is the promise in His word that is yours? Because the Bible says here that He who promised that word is reliable, is trustworthy, and is faithful to His word. So you can know that what God has promised, His answer to that is yes and amen. So obviously I'm not talking about you now wanting to trust God for somebody else's wife or husband or somebody else's car or somebody else's business. This is not about covetousness or coveting other people's possessions or things or relationships. No, this is about trusting God for something that He has promised you. So you need to go and find a promise in God's word, because His answer to that promise is yes and amen. Why? Because if He's promised it, He's letting you, listen, this promise is based on me being faithful, trustworthy, and reliable. And that if it's in my word, my answer to you is yes. So we can see that faith, which is trust, it's trusting God, is not blind. Faith is seeing the end from the beginning. So we can see that there is a scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 that says that we walk by faith and not by sight. But this is clearly not a blind faith. This is a faith that is trusting in the character and the knowledge of God, understanding who He is and what He has promised. And it's very, very clear in the Thayers where it says that this sight is talking about natural. It's talking about outward appearance. It's talking about a faith that is sure, where we are fully persuaded and we are immovable. This is about a deep assurance, an actuality, a perceiving that God quite clearly, based on the testimony of Himself, has said that we can trust Him, not looking at the natural, but seeing things in the spiritual. So Jesus took a handful of common men and He taught them how to walk by faith, how to not judge things by the outward, by external circumstances. And these guys had the authority of God's word, and they saw the promises work, and they knew who Jesus was. So those are the things that produce confidence within you. It's knowing who God is, knowing that He is for you, that He is with you, that you can operate and function the way that He operates and functions. And remember the promise. Jesus said it's not how much faith you need, how much trust you need. He said, no, you only need as much as a mustard seed. So it's about living in this constant awareness that God is for you, that He has proved Himself through His character, through the life of Jesus, that He's still the God of miracles, that He still wants to work in and through you. But are you cultivating your heart? Are you allowing the seed to germinate within you? Are you seeing the end from the beginning? Are you living in this unwavering assurance in the knowledge of who God is and trusting in His word and His promises? So my second point is, we must not get distracted by other people's miracles. Now, Jesus is on His way to heal Jairus's daughter. And a woman who has an issue of blood comes also with faith in her heart, because the Bible says that she kept saying to herself, if I just touch the hem of His garment, if I just touch the hem of His garment, if I just... So her heart, her conviction, her trust was, listen, I know if I touch Jesus' garment, I'm going to be healed. But remember, Jesus was on assignment for Jairus' daughter. And this woman with the issue of blood touches Him. Jesus senses and knows that power has left His body. He turns around, even though there were people pressing against Him. And He's like, listen, somebody has touched me with faith in their hearts. And power has come out of me, and she's got healed. And she comes forth, confesses her sin. But now what can we learn from this? Can you imagine Jairus? He's like, listen, please will you stop dealing with this woman? There is an emergency here. There is something that we need to get to. My daughter is dying. Please, Jesus, can you just stop delaying? This is a serious issue. My encouragement to you is, don't be distracted by other people's miracles. You know, so often we come to this place and we look at other people's testimonies, and it's like we get disappointed, we get distracted. Our hearts begin to lose courage, because it's like, Lord, how come You're doing it for this person and You're not doing it for me? But what we can learn in this portion of Scripture is that we should not get distracted, should not get discouraged, should not lose hope because we see God answering prayers for other people and it seems like He's not answering our prayer. Remember what was happening here. Jesus was on His way with Jairus. They were on their way. There was just something else that He had to do for this woman. And Jesus didn't even go out of His way for this woman. She came to Him, touching Him in faith. So don't lose hope. In Hebrews 6 verse 12, in the Amplified, it says, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as do those who through faith, by their leaning of the entire personality on God in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting, are now inheriting the promises. In the Passion it says, don't allow your hearts to grow dull or lose your enthusiasm, but follow the example of those who fully received what God has promised because of their strong faith and patient endurance. He's saying, listen, you need to inherit those promises through your faith and patience. Just be patient in the process. Allow your heart to rest in the confidence of who God is and what He has promised you in His word. In Hebrews 10:36 in the Amplified, it says, for you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you've carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. So he's saying there are times when we are, as we are trusting God, that we will inherit those promises through faith and patience. And there's just times when you need to endure. He's saying, don't give up. Just because you see a miracle happening for somebody else, allow that rather to encourage you and not discourage you. Say in your heart, Lord, thank you. If you can answer their prayer, I know that you've already answered mine. And that's what faith is. Faith is trusting. It's being confident in. It's relying on the fact that when you ask God, you have already received from him. And his answer for that promise is yes and amen. So don't lose hope. No, you need some endurance in this. Just stay the course. Don't quit. Keep your heart persuaded, trusting that God is still the God of miracles and he's going to do a miracle for you. My third point in this is put away all unbelief. You know, when Jesus eventually got to Jairus' house, the Bible says that they were all weeping there because they knew that she was dead. And Jesus, he put them all out. He said, all of you, I want you out. And he only took those who he knew who could stand in faith with him. He took those who he knew would be open to seeing God work a miracle here. And the Bible says that he said to them, you, get out. Because it's amazing, when they came in with faith, they went from weeping to laughing at him, saying, no, this is an impossible situation. Don't allow those around you who look at you, if you've got faith and confidence in God in your heart, where you are trusting him, where they go from, oh, mourning, this thing is dead, to laughing at you, saying, this is an impossible situation. Rather put them out. Go and find people who are going to stand with you. Look what it says in verse 51. When he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him, except Peter, John, James, and the girl's father and mother. So he's saying he did not allow anyone to enter. Don't allow others and their unbelief to enter in with you. That's a key lesson. You need to find people who are going to stand in faith with you. And this is what it says. He's saying here in this portion of scripture, don't entertain unbelief. Don't become unwavering. Don't allow unbelief to now come and partner with you, where you start questioning the character of God and the promises of God. This is not the time for that. This is the time when you are being unwavering in trusting God. And this is what it says in Mark 11, 22 to 24. It says, Jesus answered, said, have the faith of God. Believe the way that God has created you to believe. Function the way that God has created you to function, where you are trusting in him, where you are allowing who you are, who he is, to begin to flow together in harmony. And then he says, truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. So he's saying, listen, you need to be speaking to this problem. Don't speak to God. He's saying, speak to the mountain. Whoever says to this mountain, this is the way, he's saying, have the faith of God, operate and function the way God functions. So begin speaking to the problem. Don't speak to God about the problem. Speak to the problem about God. That's what he's saying here. And then whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Don't entertain doubt, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it'll be granted to him. Therefore, I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you. I mean, this is a promise from Jesus. This is the way that we can function. Begin speaking to your problems. Begin speaking to your business. Begin speaking to your ministry. Begin speaking to those issues which seem like mountains. Begin speaking to them. Begin declaring the promises of God about who he is, who you are, and what he has declared. Begin to speak the word of God. Begin to speak these things to those mountains, and do not doubt in your heart. Don't entertain doubt. Don't entertain those who will not agree in terms of the promise of God working in and through you. In James 1, it talks about, listen, when you are going through trials, consider it all joy, but do not entertain doubt. Don't waver. Don't become somebody who's tossed between opinions, because then it says that we will receive nothing. But if you need wisdom, ask of God, who gives liberally. So this is what he's saying in James chapter 1. He's saying, listen, don't entertain doubt. Don't become, this is not the time. In the midst of when God is about to work that miracle in your life, don't entertain doubt. So this is something else that Jesus did. He took those people who he knew could have this confident expectation of what Jesus is going to do. You need to find people who are going to stand together with you. In Matthew 18, 18 to 20, it says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. For where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. This is so powerful. He's saying whatever you bind, that is talking about whatever you allow, is something that has already been allowed in heaven. So whatever you are allowing, whatever you are tolerating, he's saying, listen, that is what is going to happen on earth. So that is so powerful for you and I as sons and daughters of God. We need to find, then he goes into the context of go and find two or more where you can agree together, because whatever you agree upon, it's going to encourage you in your faith. You can begin declaring, speaking to your mountains, trusting God, believing God. And the Bible says that it will be granted to us because we know whom we are trusting. So go and find somebody who you can stand together with and begin declaring the promises of God. Don't allow things which are not consistent with what Jesus has promised. So if he's promised something in his word, that's what you need to allow. That's what you need to declare. That's what you need to tolerate. Tolerate what the kingdom of God has promised you. And then my last point this morning is we need to then walk this out. So in James chapter 2, where it talks about faith and works, it says that faith without works is dead. Begin to do your due diligence. Begin to live according to the promise. What is it going to look like if you receive that promise right now? Start adjusting your life accordingly and start walking this out. You know, we've often heard that statement, you don't judge a book by its cover. While that can refer to people, but that could apply to your life. And all throughout the Bible, God shows us and teaches us not to accept circumstances at face value. So faith isn't denying that there is a physical realm. No, faith is acknowledging that there is something that is beyond the physical, that there is also a spiritual realm. So faith is all about not judging your circumstances by how they appear. You judge your circumstances by the word of God. This is when I begin to take the word of God and speak this and declare it. And Hebrews chapter 11 gives us many examples of those who trusted God at his word and did not live their lives just based merely on their circumstances around them. In verse 7, it says, by faith Noah built an ark to prepare for a flood that God forewarned him about. Now, no one at that point in history had ever seen rainfall. And God spoke to him and said, I want you to build an ark. Now, Noah knew the words God spoke to him. He believed these promises and he began to live according to what God had spoken. He began to build an ark, even though no one had seen rain before. So that was putting action to his faith and the promises of God. In verse 17, it says, by faith, Abraham offered up his long-awaited child, Isaac, as a sacrifice at God's request. So the circumstances made it look like Isaac, Abraham's promised son, would be gone forever. But Abraham's faith in God's promise helped him to trust God. And God responded, and God had the whole plan worked out for him, that by faith he would be sacrificing a ram instead of his son. In verse 24 and 27 of Hebrews 11, it says, by faith Moses chose not to identify with Pharaoh's household, but rather to suffer with God's people, for he endured seeing him who is invisible. Moses endured because he saw him and trusted him who is invisible. And he chose not to live his life according to just the circumstances around him, but to live according to the promises of God and the invisible God who he knew and who he trusted in. So Paul admits in Hebrews 11 that we don't have time to go through all the stories of those who lived by faith. But some of these people were Gideon, Barak, Samson, David, Samuel. And the Bible says in verse 33, these who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. So this is where the tacky hits the tar. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is when we begin to see those who are trusting God, those who are not trusting God. And God encourages us. We can trust him. We can trust his word. We can trust what he has done in us. We can look at our past testimonies. We can look at what God is doing through others. We can grow encouraged through these things. In 1 John 5 verse 4, it says, for whatever is born of God, which is you and I. So he's saying, whoever and whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. So he's saying the way that you're going to conquer, the way that you're going to get through, the way that you're going to have victory is by your faith. It's by trusting in God. It's about letting go of unbelief. It's about being persuaded, having a conviction that God is true to his word, that God is for you, that he loves you, that his promises of abundant life, his promises according to his character and his nature are true to you, and that you can trust him, that you can trust what he has promised to you. It's not our natural abilities. It's not our great wisdom. It's none of these things that causes God to work for us. No, God's plans for you are good. So it's about me trusting and cooperating by faith with God, trusting in him that he is good. So what promises in the Bible that don't appear to be working in your life? Go back to those promises. Go back to God's word. Go back to trusting him and saying, Lord, I trust you in this. And become quite diligent in pondering and studying and getting your heart persuaded of what God has promised, because he hasn't changed his mind. So it may look to you in the natural that things are dying. It may look to you that things are dead. But this is the place where we can see God's miraculous power at work within us. When we begin to look at God's word, when we begin to see that we are spiritual beings living in a natural world, and because of that we have access to a kingdom where there is no lack, where there is no limitation. And we can begin to see things from God's perspective, from a spiritual reality, and we begin to bring it into a natural reality. And that is what faith is. So I want to encourage you and let you know that with God all things are possible. It might look like it's impossible in the natural. It might look like your circumstances right now are dying. It might look like your dreams are dying. It might look like your ministry is dying. Yet God's encouragement is like, listen, you have need of faith. You have need of endurance. You have need of trusting in me, trusting in my character. So friends, I want to let you know, don't allow hope to discourage you. Don't allow you not having hope to discourage you. Don't allow these things to keep you from experiencing what God has promised you. No, trust him. You can trust his word. You can trust his character. And you can trust that he is a miracle working God. Amen. With God, all things are possible. I would love to pray for you this morning. Maybe you have been listening to me right now and it's like, man, Steve, just these things look impossible around me. And I want to let you know that God is still for you. He hasn't changed his mind about you. So let me pray for you this morning, if you wouldn't mind. Father, I just pray for every person who is listening to this message, Lord, whose hearts maybe are discouraged, who are looking at circumstances that look dire, that look impossible, that look like things are dying and dead around them. And Father, I just thank you through the encouragement of your word that they can trust you because they know who you are. They know your word, Lord. I thank you, Father, that they will let go of all unbelief, that they will not partner with unbelief and doubt, Lord, but they will know that they can trust you because whatever they ask, when they speak to their mountains, when they begin declaring the promises of God to their problems, Lord, that they will know that there is the kingdom of God that is backing them, Lord. I thank you, Father, that you have said in your word that all of the promises of God are yes and amen, Lord. I thank you, Father, that they can see that in the spiritual realm, the answer is yes and amen, Lord, and that they are going to be bringing that into a natural, physical realm, Lord. I thank you that you are with them, Lord, that they don't need to judge those things around them as the final verdict, Lord, but they are making a judgment based on your verdict, Lord, and your word. So I thank you, Father, that they can trust you. Study, ponder, and meditate on your promises, Lord, and allow them to germinate in their hearts and bear much fruit, Lord. So I thank you that I can stand in agreement, Lord. As your word has said, if two or more agree upon anything, Lord, I thank you, Father, that we can stand together with them in agreement, that they will allow and tolerate the kingdom of God to be at work in this natural realm, Lord. And I thank you for that in your wonderful name. Amen. I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that you will go through this week trusting and allowing those dreams that you thought were dying and dead to be revived within you as you begin to connect with God and his promises and his word once again. Always remember, you are highly favored and deeply loved of God. Amen.